It is great to be with you in hour number two, as promised. Not only is Doug Christie here, you got to leave early today, right?
Yeah, I got excused by the principal.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What time do you get off?
I get to get out at 4:30. Thank you.
You get off
much.
At 4:30.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to be here by myself until 7.
I don't know
if I can do that or not.
Come on, man. You've been doing this too long, Nate.
I have been doing this a long time, man.
If you need me, you know, I'm gonna be driving for a second. If you need me to call back in, I could hook you up.
Okay. Well, as mentioned, Willie Cauley-Stein is in studio with us. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. I don't know if I should ask you if this summer went fast or what, because it seemed like we were just talking to you down the hallway before you did all your summer activities, and here we are a couple days away from camp.
Yeah, no, it definitely went fast. I can't even fathom how fast it went. But I'm hyped though. I'm really excited about, you know, not only my opportunity this year, but just our opportunity as, you know, the Kings organization and everybody else that comes with it. It's just, you know, the vibe is really cool in there.
You know, a lot of times, Willie, when a player gets ready to go into the summertime, whatever they're going to work on. So I seen you, because I follow you on social media, so I seen you in Vietnam and China and different places, and I'm thinking, okay, what's Willie's game going to look like? Then I came to the gym, and I said, oh, boy, Willie's game is looking real nice. What was your approach to trying to tune this thing in and get to what I'm seeing out there on the court?
You know, man, a lot of it was mental.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people was telling me that, like, oh, man, you're moving a lot. Like, you're moving a lot. Like, when are you in the gym? Are you in the gym? And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm in the gym.
Right?
I'm in the gym. But, you know, not as – it's more – it was a more mental, you know, summer than more physical. But I just did a lot of reps.
Okay.
Now you see it. Like, I've done just a lot of reps, a lot of reps, a lot of reps. And now it's kind of like it's getting comfortable. It's coming second nature. Like ball handling is tighter, you know, shooting is tighter, and, you know, just seeing the floors, passing the balls, everything is just real tight right now.
That's beautiful.
And you got a taste in the last 25 games, playing regular minutes and playing a lot, about where your ceiling may be and that you're not there yet, but you already had success. And I would think that fueled you big time this summer too.
Oh, yeah. That definitely gave me, you know, a sense of direction of where to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before it's just like, you know, when you play in an effort role,
right,
it's just effort.
Yep.
Go out there and play hard, and then everything else kind of, you know, unveils itself. But then, like, when you're playing that other role where you need to get 15 and 10 to, like, have a chance to win the game, now you're starting thinking of ways to, you know,
awesome.
Kind of like, okay, well, where's my spots at so I could get these numbers real quick so we got a chance to win? And so, like, that's kind of my whole mental approach to, you know, this whole summer is, like, you know, what's the easiest way for me to get my numbers in? Where are my spots at? Where I know I'm going to get this, you know, I know I'm going to score here. I know, you know, defensively I need to be here so we can do this. And, like, that's more the, you know, the approach that I took.
You know, some guys are motivated by what ultimately you're in this business for, and that's to make money. Doug is one of these guys, I really believe he would have played for nothing. You know what I mean? But yet, when you see the money going out there right now, and you're starting your third year, how much does that factor into your motivation of going overboard, full tilt, to be the best you can be because of that aspect of what you do?
I mean, it's you know, probably 80% of what you're thinking about all the time. But not only that, it's just like, you know, we rebuild it. So now we got, like, a whole, you know, new set of guys and a new team and a new frame of mind that, like, we're trying to win, Grant. Like, we're trying to win. Like, we're not just trying to play no more. Like, we're trying to win, and we're trying to take the city to a whole nother level. And that's, like, you know, so big in my aspect, because I'm here for the culture. Like, you know, you see the way I dress, you see the way I talk, you see the way I move, and that's, like, I'm here for the culture, and I'm trying to bring something different to the city. And, you know, winning helps that. And that, like, you know, the money aspect comes if you win. If you win, we all get paid.
That's right. I'll tell you one thing, and I know I speak for Doug, because Doug knows he lived it, and I lived it from a different perspective. If you win here, and by winning, I'm not even talking about winning a championship. Like, the first game you play at Golden 1 Center in the playoffs,
oh my God.
And I know you played at Kentucky, and so I'm just telling you, you'll remember it all the way to your grave, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like it in the world.
These fans, they take on a whole different vibe. The whole city takes on a vibe.
It's unbelievable.
That's why, like, listening to you, I start sweating. I'm just like, I'm excited for you. And I watch you guys work, and down there, it seems to be a competitive environment. Do you like the environment that's been built?
Oh yeah, I mean it's fun. It's fun to like show up to work, and you know, as soon as we're done hooping, you're ready. Like, oh, I can't wait till tomorrow. Like, we got 5 games tomorrow. Like, I'm trying to at least win 4 of these games. Yeah. Like, you know, somebody might have got you on a couple moves, and you're like, tomorrow you ain't getting me on that. And
yes.
Like, so it's just like, I don't know, it's just fun, and I'm really excited about, you know, training camp and having all the guys together and see, you know, what the coaches are scheming on, how we're going to play, and 2 weeks before our first game.
Wow. Get out of here. I know.
Is that crazy?
That's wild.
It is.
Wild. 2 weeks.
I know.
It is. It's just crazy.
And then, you know, Doug and I were out there yesterday, and I see Vince Carter with you guys, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, and I'm not saying that you're different, but you're a little bit even older than the young guys that came in. I'm like, man, Vince Carter was playing before they were born. They're on the same court with a guy that's just, like, famous. And, like,
he's a walking legend.
Yes, yeah. Right?
Like, a walking legend. And, like,
what a great guy, too,
seeing
huh?
him move and stuff, you're just like, man, I would never thought he was like this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like us. Yeah. He's normal. And you put him on a whole nother pedestal, and he's just, like, you know, funny dude, sit there and, you know, shoot. He's just funny. Like, he's just a cool dude. And, like, I don't know, it was very very cool when we were both in China and I seen him in a whole nother light and how the people there were treating him. And you're just like, oh, he's global too?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's global too?
No,
he's got
doubt.
The Carter effect,
yes.
Everywhere. This is crazy. Like, yes. This dude's on our team. This is going to be...
That's awesome.
It's going to be, you know, just one of the coolest things that's, you know, probably that, you know, you can feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, you're going to experience this. I had him when he was a rookie. In Toronto. So to
That's
when I seen him yesterday and gave him love, we, you know, just go back through and, you know, you're going to be 17, 18 years in the league and then it's going to be some kid and then they're going to be like, that's Willie Cauley-Stein. It's a crazy thing how this league works. And now that you're getting to experience it, Willie, the first time you came in, you're a rookie, you get some spot minutes. So last year, you start out, you get a little bit, but then all of a sudden, it takes off. This is going to be the second time through. What I mean by that is now you're on the scouting report.
Right.
And they're going to attack you differently. Do you think about that piece of it?
Every day.
Good.
Every single day I'm
so
thinking
awesome.
Of it.
It is.
I'm thinking of, like... It's so crazy. I've never been on a scouting report.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You.
So now
I
it's
know.
Like, even the last 25 games, I was on a scouting report.
Right.
Like, you can feel the defense of people like, oh, he likes to go right. Well, let's force him left. Well, little did you know I'm left-handed. So, like.
Yeah. It's, and you can hear the bench. And the bench is saying, watch it, whatever
right,
the scouting
right,
report
right.
is.
And you're like, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Yeah. I like this. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, every single day I'm thinking about and every single day I'm just thinking about, you know, these first games, I'm showing this, and I'm not showing this.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not showing this neither. I'm going to keep it real, you know, cut and dry what I'm showing until, you know, it kind of, like, takes off in its own sense of, all right, he's playing me this way, and I'm just doing it.
Yes. That's awesome, man.
You know what I love about what you said a couple minutes ago? You go, man, we want to win. No one's expecting the Kings to win this year because of the young roster and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, watching it and competing and the way you guys talk, you don't want to hear about that, do you?
Nah, I mean, I've heard it from when we first started, you know, during the summer when we first got our rookies in.
Yeah,
we're at the bottom of the conference. Put us at the bottom of the conference. You know, that's gonna help us.
Sure,
right.
We get to sneak up on people. Like I like to think of it like when I was at Kentucky, we always had a target on our back.
Sure.
And I used to hate the fact that we had a target on our backs because every time you might have some bums come in and they're playing hard. And they're playing on a whole nother
best
level.
Because they beat you, it makes their whole season.
What? And they're
right.
That's their championship game.
Right.
And that's how we gotta be every time we step on the floor. Yeah. Like, this is our championship game.
Hey, and what is your sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Good.
What is your impression of a guy that so many people around the country wanna know about, but because of his knees we don't know enough about, and that's Harry Giles.
Yo, Harry surprised me a little bit. You know, the first day we played with him, I thought he was like kind of slow, methodic. But then I'm like, well, he did just come off ACL tear. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's, you know, been, what, it's like a year, two
right?
years.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, he's probably still babying it. Like, I remember when I broke my ankle, like, I was still kind of like, still had this little limp because I'm like.
Yeah, and it's not there, but it's
right,
there.
But it's there. I'm like, well, it doesn't hurt, but I'm still limping, and I don't know why I'm limping. And it took me a little while before I'm like, I just let it loose. I'm like, all right, I'm playing. But then I started seeing his skill, and I was like, all right, so now he got some skill, and I like that. I like to see, you know, he's got his hooks, but then he can put the ball on the floor a little bit. And it's just like, I'm like, okay, Harry's all right. I like Harry.
Yeah, I like what I saw out of him too. Have you thought about this piece? Because as I look at this younger team, and then you have the three veterans that got brought in. You got Bogdan, who has European experience. There's a leadership piece that's going to come to this, coming in first in the drills, doing what we've seen you do. Come early, stay late, dedicate your time. Do you think about the leadership piece at all?
That's another thing. I literally just got off the phone with my agent right before I came here because, you know, I talked to Vladi and Peja, and they're like, they're looking for that.
Yeah,
like,
that's awesome.
And I have this sort of energy about me that, like, you can't help but look at it. You can't help but feel it. So it's like, it's there.
Yep. What you going to do with it?
Right.
Yes.
Now, how are you going to, like, motivate everybody else to follow you? And that's kind of like, that's why I'm staying late an hour.
Yep.
That's why I'll be there, you know, even though, do I have to be there?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I'm going to show face. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the little things. But it's hard because being even a younger dude and, like, you see the walking legends and you're like, how do I talk to him? But then it's just like talking to him like as a man.
Yep. And you know what? A lot of times, as I've been through a lot of different things and I've learned is what you said. It's not going to be what you say. It's going to be what you do, because the young players are going to see you, they're going to follow, and they're going to respect. The older players are going to see you, and they're going to give you respect.
Right.
And that's what we witness just by being around is,
that's right.
Willie's here. He's early. He's late. Those are the things that pay dividends.
I think it's awesome.
I do, too.
You know, and you know this, because we live in an era of social media, and everyone's yapping and stuff all the time, and guys get labels on them. And we talk about interest outside of basketball, and everybody knows your love for art and what you do. And then, you know, early in your career, it's like, well, you know, does Willie, what's more important to him? Is it, well, you know what, why can't you have both? Why can't you have, you know, basketball is what you do. It's not necessarily who you are. But, man, oh, man, I mean, the amount of work that you've put in for basketball this summer has got to be maybe, and I'm asking, it's got to be maybe more than ever, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, well, let's take it back. 10, 15 years.
Okay.
I'm playing four sports. So when it's baseball season, I'm not touching a basketball.
Right.
I'm not touching a football.
I heard you were a heck of a football player, man.
When it goes football, I'm not touching either of those. I'm playing all football. I'm watching football at home. I'm doing all sorts of football. It didn't click to me till like my sophomore year of college. Like, I'm not playing those sports anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got to be doing something during those times. And then, like, from that point on, it kind of took off. Like, I started, you know, being in the gym a little bit more, kind of like taking it a little more serious. Like, it matters now. It's not like, okay, I'm just playing hoops. Like, all right, I'm trying to do this. To that point, I turned it into an art.
Mm.
Like, this summer was an art for me. Like,
that's awesome, man.
I'm learning this game in a whole different aspect of, like, this is poetry. This is art. Like, my moves is something else than just doing moves and, like, putting the ball in the hole and doing this. Like, I'm doing this as an art now, and that's where I've turned it into in my head, and that's why, you know, it's a lot more fun that way.
You know, Grant, you say something all the time is you got to wait, people, because a lot of people, they call in and when we get a draft pick. Why isn't a draft pick playing? Why isn't – and Grant said, you're going to have to wait 2 to 3 years. And the funny part about what you just said is that's why, Grant, because, see, for him, it turned on in a different way. And now he said, I'm going to dedicate myself to this. And a lot of guys – don't do that, Willie. And they have as much talent as you do, but they don't do it, so they never get to reap the benefits of that. And obviously the organization doesn't. I don't really think you know how good you could be. And that's the scary part. There's not a guy in the league. I can't really – well, maybe there's a couple that can stay in front of a pick and roll. I watched you the other day get one-on-one with Buddy, and he gave you his best, and you were still right in front of him, so he had to pass it. Those are things that big guys run in the floor. I saw you start the break with two dribbles and pass it. These are things that not every big guy can do. So from that standpoint, I don't know that you know that.
You know, I do.
You do? Okay.
I do. I've known for a while, but I've never had the opportunity to show it, and I've never had the opportunity to, like – believe it.
Ah.
Like, I know what I could do.
Gotcha.
In a pickup game where there's no coaches and there's, like, not my teammates.
Right.
You're thinking I'm a point guard because, like, that's how I'm seeing the floor and I'm doing that type of stuff.
Right.
But it's like, now how do I carry that over to the – and that's where it comes in now.
That's
it's
awesome.
Like, you got to have that game time to do it.
Yes.
And you got to have that game feel to kind of, like, you know – do all that type of stuff, but I'm doing it every day. Yes. I promise you that. You might not see it.
Yes.
But I'm doing it every day because there's going to be a point where it is mine.
Yes.
And I will get to do anything that I want. Right now, I'm not expecting it right now, but I do work on that every day because I know what I want to be in the end of it, and I just know how to – now that I have the steps to get there.
Man, that's awesome stuff, man. It gives me chills, Grant, because I tell Grant all the time that a lot of little tiny differences when we were playing is Vlade and Webb would grab the ball and we wouldn't have to come back for it. They would take a dribble or two. So now I'm running full speed at the defense. That's a whole different thing, and he's passing me. Those little things with a guy like De'Aaron Fox, as fast as he is, and you hit him in full stride and you got a shooter trailing and you're playing this high above the rim. Holy moly, man. I get excited.
I know.
This is
too much
for me.
We were talking about, I mean this. We've been doing this a long time. He's played. Hard to believe. I don't want to age. This is going to be my 30th year. I've seen a lot of things, man. But it's been a long time since we've been this excited for start of a season. And the future. You talk about what you guys are building. Like, I just think this is going to be an incredible time to be a Kings fan coming up here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's awesome. You can feel it. You can see it. You know,
I give a lot of this credit. Obviously, it starts at the top with Vivek and everybody up there, and then it comes down to Vlade. But he is what we used to call when we played. He's like United Nations. Vlade is he gets along with everybody, but he has a real way to talk. And do you get that from him? How he can get through to you?
Oh yeah, for sure. I learned that. When I first got here. of him playing the game in a sense. Even like with everybody, like players, coaches, other front office dudes, kind of lets you like talk your talk, but he knows ultimately what he's going to get. You know what I'm saying? Like he knows ultimately what he wants and what he's going to get, and he's going to let himself kind of warm into it. And I like the way he moves, so
it's
like cool like that. But yeah, for sure. I'll be watching them and stuff. So it's
I'm curious. You've been through this now twice, so you know what to expect in training camp, and we know what a grind this season is. Will you take this weekend off and just clear and like because it'll be the last weekend you have off until the All-Star break. How will you handle that?
Oh yeah, I don't even know. It's the last weekend, so. I've been thinking about it since last week and what I'm going to do. Like, all right, so next week is the last week of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Because I know the Rooks have been told, hey, go away this weekend. This will be the last time you have 2 days off consecutively until the All-Star break.
Yeah.
They don't know that, but they do know. They've been told.
They be asking me all the time how training camp is, and it's not that it's super hard. It's just that, like, it's real now. You know what I'm saying? It's not that it's... Yeah, we've been hooping forever. Y'all been through the same. They all teaching the same stuff. But now it's like, instead of wearing here for 10 minutes doing one drill, now we're going to be doing the same drill for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And now you're like, your fatigue level mentally comes in or like, dude, like we've been doing this drill forever. Like, can we move on? But it's like, no, you can't.
And those guys are trying to compete to get into the rotation.
Oh, no doubt.
Who's playing the minutes? And you can only play five guys at once. Doug and I, I was talking about this with Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how competitive this camp's going to be starting on Tuesday, man?
And that is a great environment because the cream rises to the top. And that kind of leads me to, I think Coach Yeager is going to expect a lot out of you guys. And I hope that he does. What's your feeling on that? Meaning that, he pushed the envelope. These are young guys, and you guys have an abundance of talent.
Right. So I think he's going to treat it a lot like, a lot of us – just came from college. So you can kind of treat us like we're college kids still, to an extent. What I'm saying? Like,
I got you.
Like in college, you kind of, your coach is controlling you.
He is.
But like in this sense, it's like he can control how hard we play
because
we're so young.
Okay.
With the older guys, you can't tell you, get on the line and run. You know what I'm saying? Like with us, you can kind of tell us like, look, if we're messing up,
yes,
going to get your ass on the line and you're going to run. But like when you got a lot of older dudes, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Because, it's a whole nother – He's gonna teach us like the right way to play.
That's good,
that's like the coolest thing about it. I could see it in his actions and the way he kind of runs his stuff is like, we might not be the most talented, but we're gonna play hard.
There you
go.
We're
gonna play fast. And it's like our defense is gonna be on point. Like our offensive our plays is so cut and screen and all that type of stuff, and it's hard to guard.
Yes.
And like so, if we're on that page, like we're gonna get a lot of easy buckets.
That's beautiful, man. I'm excited. And Kings fans, if you're listening, and I know you are, you should be excited as well. As Monday is media day, and right after that, it gets started.
Tuesday, man. I think the team dinner on Monday night, and they're at work starting on Tuesday. And as Willie said, a week from Monday is the first preseason game.
Goodness gracious, man. You know, they moved it up. I think it was 10 days.
About 7 days.
About seven days to get rid of some of those.
Back to back.
All the 4 and 5 nights. Did that bother you at all? 4 and 5 nights? I mean, you're a young guy.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't playing 35 anyway. So, like, you know, it was kind of cool. I'm like, dude, I might get to play a little bit more tonight
because somebody else is going to be. Rest.
Exactly. So, but it got kind of tricky towards the end because when you are starting to play 35, 40 minutes, and you're like,
yeah.
These back-to-backs ain't no joke, but I'm playing, so it's fun, and it's like it's almost over, so you kind of like, oh, it's the home stretch. I'm just going to push through this. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how it's going to be.
Do you take good care of your body? Do you try to, I don't know, like massage, all the different things that you can do to try to make sure that you're at that top level?
Yeah, I mean, I recently just started, like, you know, deep tissue.
Okay.
I found out that. Now, I used to think that I was taking care of my body until I started doing this. And like,
then you're like,
then I'm like, wait. I've been lied to. Like,
yes.
this is not how it's supposed to be. Because I did this. I had this guy come into my house on Monday, and he was like a deep tissue guru. Like,
okay.
This dude is really weird, but I liked him. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I could see how passionate it was and what he was doing. But he said my body was 80 pounds of my muscle tension was pulling my body down. Mm. So, like, I was leaned over 10 feet.
Okay.
Or 10 inches. Not 10 feet is OD.
Yeah.
10 inches. I was leaned over 10 inches. So instead of, like, you know, my librium being straight, I was like this.
Okay.
One leg was 2 inches lower than the other.
Wow.
And I'm thinking I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I seen that. I'm like, yo, I've been lying to myself.
No doubt.
And so, like, by the end of that, I had, you know, 50 pounds instead of 80 pounds. So, like, you know, I'm just trying to chisel that back.
That's awesome.
I think I grew, like, 2 inches, though.
You see, Grant? Then everyone would call me crazy. That's exactly why. He's learning about himself,
yes.
And that's big-time stuff. Oh, I love it.
It's awesome,
you know,
isn't it?
I'm over here sweating. Luckily, I get to leave in a second.
Yeah, you do. You both get to leave. I get to go solo until 7. But, I've done it before. I think I can handle it.
I think you can handle this,
you know?
Napes. No doubt.
Hey, man,
no
it's great having you in studio.
No
I really
doubt,
appreciate,
I appreciate it.
And we can't wait to get it going for real next week, man.
Oh, yeah.
Go get him, man. Do your thing, man. We're going to be rooting for you. You got the whole city behind you. And they haven't got to see what we had to.
Oh boy,
the blessing.
We got
to
a little
be able to peek
sneak preview. We can't wait.
You guys play hard like that, man. You make everybody proud.
Yep.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's all they really want anyway.
No doubt.
You take care too, Doug. We'll see you tomorrow at 3.
You got it, man.
All right. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. Sports 1140 KHDK. Great stuff with Willie Cauley-Stein. As we talked to him for the last 30 minutes, if you missed it, you can check it out a little bit later by going to khdk.com. But you just have to love what you hear from Willie. And I said this last year, and I'm going to say it again, but he was the biggest benefactor of the DeMarcus Cousins trade. And when DeMarcus Cousins was traded, Willie Cauley-Stein was let out of his cage. And Willie Cauley-Stein, to me, was the brightest of bright spots last year in the final 25 games. So we thank him for coming in the studio. We're going to switch gears right now. We're going to talk about the Raiders as they are on the road for the next 2 weeks, Sunday night primetime at D.C., and then they will be at Denver. Lincoln Kennedy joining us here. Link, how are you, man?
Nape, I'm doing well. You know, this Sunday night game means I don't get back to Oakland until something like 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. after it's all said and done. So
I know, Link. Those are brutal. It's brutal. But I got to tell you, it's, you know, you played mostly on the West Coast, but it's worse. It's worse if you're an East Coast team and you're playing Monday night on the West Coast. Then you get back around 8 or 9 in the morning.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, buddy. And I know you know it well, especially with your basketball schedule, traveling with the team. Oh. So I know you know how it goes.
Absolutely. But it's all good. Hey, you know what? Early in the season, to me, you know, you got to win. You worry about getting better and better in each week. But before I talk about that, I want to just get your general thought, because it just seems to me that with the way preseason has played, Link, and how many guys don't really play in the preseason, that the offenses really suffer. It may not be the case necessarily with Oakland, and especially it's tough to get a read when you're going against the Jets, but it just seems a lot of offenses are really struggling early in the season, which do you think is going to be the norm going forward now with the way preseason's played in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think by the next time the two sides revisit the whole CBA, you're going to have a diminished preseason. You're going to probably have it down to just 2 games, and you're going to add either some regular season games or maybe some playoff spots. You're going to keep a 20-game combination, but it's just going to be a different variation than it is right now, at least a 20-game combination. Some teams have 21 games where they have the extra preseason, but I think it's going to change. To me, the new NFL consists of utilizing the first month, really, to get their players in game shape. Now, it's a little bit, you know, when you think about it, it's a little bit, seems a little bit backwards. Why would you use the regular season? Well, here's the thing. One, you don't want to get a significant player hurt in preseason and have nothing to show for it. At least in the regular season, there are settlements and there are things that you can do if that player gets hurt, or there's ways to sort of offset the contract rather than just trying to find some sort of settlement to put them on IR or something like that, and maybe lose a roster spot. So I think coaches are going to be more guarded in the preseason about their starters, and just looking to fine-tune their rosters. And then in the regular season, the first month of the season, they're going to try to get their players in shape, in game-ready shape. Now, when you think about it, that's why you've seen such sloppy football, lack of chemistry. I saw week 1 with the Tennessee Titans. Mariota and Corey Davis just could not get together on the same page. And you've seen it in various other teams you watch around the league. So it's something that is on a team's radar, but there's something that's also they have to deal with.
Speaking about radar, I love watching the way teams are trying to game plan for Khalil Mack and the way they're blocking him, you know, not only with 2 guys, but sometimes 3 guys. And it's just so much fun to watch how teams go out when you know that you have such a stud on the other side of the ball like Khalil Mack.
No doubt. And this is going to be something that he's going to focus on, you know, pretty much his entire career as long as he's a force. Or there's going to be that type of attention. Conversely, on the other side of the ball, last week when the Jets played the Raiders, they bracketed Amari Cooper for most of the game.
Yep.
So, you know, Cooper's going to get double coverage and stuff like that. That's a ton of respect that they pay towards these athletes, these young athletes. But it also means for the Raiders that someone else is going to have to step up, either on the defensive or offensive side of the ball.
Give me your thoughts, young player with Gary and Conley, and everything that he had to go through to get onto the field and now trying to get caught up to speed. Give me your thoughts on what you see from him.
Well, I felt the Raiders did a good job of managing his snaps last week against the Jets, and we'll see how he does this week against the Redskins. I haven't had a chance to look at the injury report, so I don't know if everything's fine with the practice schedules. But, you know, just getting him acclimated, much to the first question you talked about, using the first couple of games to get everybody in playing shape. It was a similar situation with Donald Penn. You throw him out there for a number of snaps because he had missed most of training camp, or all the training camp, and then you try to catch them up accordingly, and pros are going to be pros. But I've always believed that you can't make the club on the tub and you can't make the club on the sideline. So you got to get out there and do what you got to do in order to show your value and your worth.
I know from a fan's perspective, we can talk about this. If you're on the Raiders, you're just worried about Washington. But I got to tell you, Link, it's already shaping up to be like, wow, the AFC West, you know, you better not slip up on one game because it could be the difference when you look at how good, and I know it's early, how good both Denver and Kansas City look.
Well, don't sleep on San Diego. I know that they have 2 losses, but they play both teams, Denver and Miami, competitively very, very well. The thing is that this division has been sort of, you know, coming to in its own over the last couple of years, especially when you talk about Denver winning their last Super Bowl not that long ago with that dynamic defense. Now they're trying to catch up on the offensive side. A lot of people had written them off because they didn't know what was going to happen on the offensive side, whether it was going to be Simeon or Paxton Lynch. And now that you've seen Simeon's been able to lead them and get some scores, especially the big win against Dallas, and everybody's eyebrows are raised. And Kansas City did what to New England. There is. This is going to be one of the more competitive divisions in football. I still believe that most of these teams are going to cannibalize themselves. And I was asked earlier today in an interview who I thought the best team in the AFC was. And I said I have to give my nod to Kansas City, mainly because the Raiders haven't beaten Kansas City yet. Derek Carr is 1-5, I think it is, in his last six starts against Kansas City. Until they find a way to get over that hump, you know, they've got my bid. And even though New England is still up there, they do look vulnerable in some places, but the Raiders have yet to beat them yet as well.
We're talking with Lincoln Kennedy right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Has anything through two games surprised you about Marshawn Lynch's play?
No, much to be expected. I think, you know, here's the thing, Nate. You got one football, and of course you coming in, an old workhorse like me, believes in running the football, ramming it down people's throats, you know, running it 40, 50 times a game. But that's not today's NFL. And more importantly, it's not Derek Carr's Raiders team. Let's face it, he's the franchise quarterback. He's the one who's making a lot of decisions when they're out there. The way they're managing Marshawn Lynch is right. I think 10 to 12 snaps a game, because he is up there in age, and don't overdo it. You want to have him not only through this point, but you also want to have him through November, December. You've got other weapons to utilize, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard in the backfield, and we know the receiving corps. So it's not like you just have to hand it off like he did in Seattle, which is one of the reasons that ran him out the game, as much as Seattle wanted to use him running the ball.
Link, there's a lot of teams right now that are really struggling with their offensive line, and I'm just curious to get your opinion on why that is. And do you think anything has to do with the way the game's being played at the collegiate level, or is there more to that? Why do you think so many teams have so many problems offensively with their line?
It's the collegiate level. It's also the CBA. It prevents guys from developing, and this is their job. Imagine, Nate, if someone told you they want you to do voiceover work, but they wouldn't let you practice voiceover work, how are you supposed to get better?
That's a great point.
If the same thing goes with the NFL, because they have rules in place where coaches cannot actually be on the field with players, working them out, doing things with them, because if it's filmed and turned into it's a CBA violation, which discourages me most as an analyst and as a former football player. The fact is that I understand why you did it in college. You want to respect the hour rule and you want guys to concentrate on school. I understand that. But in professional, why do you have a certain amount of hours that you can work? This is their job. This is the coach's job. You don't sit there and tell somebody, well, I want you to do a full day's of work, 8 hours a day of work, but I want you to get it done in 2 hours. And you can't come back for more. But yet, you know, that's how it just doesn't make sense. So when you look at it, it's the college game. It's the way the college game is being played. There's a lack of development on the college level, and there's even a more blatant lack of development on the professional level. And much to that point that we made on Twitter after the Monday night game, talking about Ereck Flowers, I'm a big guy of body language. I watch people's body language before and after play. His confidence is completely shot. He has no clue, and every time he gets beaten for a sack, the three next plays he's out there, he holds profusely. So, you know, the Giants did a tremendous disservice by not getting any help. More importantly, you know, trying to run this offense without addressing their offensive line needs. And to me, it's a shame. It's disgusting to watch or disappointing to watch, because every announcer on national TV is going to point it out to everybody how bad he's playing.
All right, now let me ask you this. I've watched the guy play every game in his three-year career, and I would say, as objective as I can be, I haven't seen a stitch of improvement in his game from year one to now, and he's now in his third year.
Totally agree.
All right, so I ask you this then, and again, I'm not even picking on the Giants here. I would say this about any team. At what point do you not try something different? And then number two, when you watch a player play at the offensive tackle position, which you played, can you tell immediately when we hear about players and we always hear, well, gee, they don't have the proper technique. I don't really know what the hell that means, but you do. And so, you know, I don't know if that's just an excuse for, you know, but when you see a player like Ereck Flowers, for instance, all right, and the replays look bad, but you can see a player like that, what immediately comes to your mind when you see them having so many issues?
Well, the first thing, just specifically, specifically talking about Flowers. Because his confidence is shot, the first place where he places his hands are on the outside. He's trying to grab the guy.
Okay.
Okay, so that's either a holding penalty or and another thing is he's playing too high. So if you look at this Detroit game, Ziggy ran through his chest on a couple of those sacks because he was so high. And what I mean ran through, he bull rushed him, went down the center of him and pushed him back into Eli Manning or just pushed him back to where he fell over. So he had no clue of how to stop an undersized, a guy who's good strength, but still undersized compared to Ereck Flowers. So when you talk about your written, one of your original questions was, can you tell if a guy has it or not? You can usually tell a guy has it after the first couple of games because as they get acclimated to the speed of the game, they either figure it out or they regress so they can't get it. My point is it's been 3 years of regression when it comes to that young man, and it's unfortunate that the Giants haven't at least addressed it. Now, there's only two things that can happen in this scenario, just talking about Ereck Flowers. He either has to get traded or sent away from New York because the media will always harass him as long as he's in a Giants uniform, or they might have to try during the season to put him at another position, maybe at guard or something like that, to see if he can play on the offensive line. Those are the only two options. He can't play left tackle.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he could play right tackle because it's still a level of exposure with that offense.
Hey, Link, you remember when the Raiders drafted Robert Gallery fourth overall and they wanted to make him, you know, again, their left tackle after starting at right tackle, then left tackle, and he couldn't do it. And you know what? And they realized that, and so he moved to guard. And to me, that just like, okay, we've seen it with a high pick. And again, Flowers was taken eighth. I saw it with Robert Gallery, and I'm not saying he was an all-pro guard, but he was a lot better at guard than tackle, correct?
Right. Correct. That is correct. And one of the things that got in the Gallery's head, and I don't think it was the same for Ereck Flowers, but one of the things that got – he had several different offensive line coaches because you know the coaching decisions that came over with the Raiders. So he was confused when I watched him, his technique. I came back around the team. He was confused because there was half the time his feet were backwards than his hands going up to the line because he was so offset by all the coaching and everybody had taught him. He couldn't make heads or tails of what he was able to do.
Link, have a safe journey, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy. Be good.
Thanks, brother. Thanks. Take care, buddy.
Good stuff right there from Lincoln Kennedy, right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Good stuff from Lincoln Kennedy. Grant Napier taking you solo right up till 7 o'clock. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com coming up at 5. And we'll preview tomorrow's 49ers-Rams game with Matt Barros from the Sacramento Bee. Hard to believe that training camp starts on Tuesday for the Kings. The baseball season winds down a week from Sunday, and then it gets underway for real. A couple of things still to be decided on that front. Of course, the rumors out of New York as it relates to the situation with Carmelo Anthony. We'll stay tuned on that. And as I was telling Doug this earlier, the incident, a very scary one at Yankee Stadium today when a toddler was hit in the face with a 105-mile-per-hour line drive. She was transported to a nearby hospital. As of now, there have been no updates on her condition. She was attending the game with her grandparents. The scene at Yankee Stadium with the players was somber, to say the least. And, you know, the netting at Yankee Stadium and a lot of ballparks ends at the home plate side of each dugout. And then after the game, several of the Yankees said they need more safeguards for the fans. And, I mean, Brian Dozier, the Twins second baseman, said this. Either one, you don't bring kids down there. Or number two, every stadium needs to have nets. That's it. I don't care about the damn view of a fan or what. It's all about safety. I still have a knot in my stomach. I hope the kid's okay. We need nets or don't put kids down there. Now, Commissioner Rob Manfred said this. I want to say it was last week. It remains an ongoing discussion in the industry. We gave some guidelines 2 years ago, And what we have done since then is that we have encouraged the individual clubs to engage in a localized process, look at their own stadiums, every stadium's different, and try to make a good decision about how far the netting should go in order to promote fan safety. If you look at what's happened, there has been a continuous focus forward movement in terms of increased netting in stadiums around the leagues, and I expect that process will continue this offseason. I told you what happened in hockey, and unfortunately, a young girl's life ended before the National Hockey League decided to put nets up above the glass behind the goals, and now it's standard in every NHL arena. But it cost a fan her life at a Columbus Blue Jacket game. And we can only pray and hope that this little girl is going to be okay. But even if she is or if she isn't, it should not change baseball protecting their fans from those type of line drives that go towards the dugouts. You do not have enough time to react in many instances. Not everyone is paying attention on every single pitch. And that scene at Yankee Stadium today had players in tears. Many of the players were somber on one knee praying. And it was a very, very scary incident. I would also say, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. But you cannot allow a fan to get killed. And don't think that a baseball can't kill you. We've seen instances a couple of years ago in the minor leagues where the first base coach of a minor league team got hit in the head and he died from that incident. It can happen. And we all hope that it's not going to happen with this little girl at Yankee Stadium today. If you have to put nets up further down, then you do that. And I agree with the comment about Brian Dozier of the Twins saying, that's it, I don't care about the damn view of a fan or what. It's all about safety. So, no report yet. I don't even know if we were. Joe Girardi, after the game, said our players were very disturbed. I was at Wrigley Field as a player and saw a young man get hit, and I think that he was in a coma for a day or two, and I was catching that game, and it really stuck with me. Does it happen more now? I don't know. I do think the fans are closer to the home plate now, and that might need to be something that needs to be evaluated. What he means by that, a lot of the ballparks, the newer ballparks, you know, the seating configuration is different than the old ballparks in many instances. But don't be surprised if Major League Baseball just puts out a blanket rule for all stadiums about the netting and how far it will continue towards the dugouts and past. All right. We're going to switch gears. We'll talk some football with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. That's coming up next right here on Sports 1140.